Is one, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the beard, on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So we can go to that first verse, and what it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And the question I think we need to ask first is, what is unity? What is the meaning of this word unity? And it simply is, unity is being together or at one with someone or something. It is the opposite of being divided. That is unity. It's the opposite of being divided. It's about being together to be like one. That is unity. Now, the funny thing about this word, about unity, I think when it comes to unity, and if you ask people if unity is important, everyone will say yes. If you ask people, do you believe in unity? Every person will say, yes, I do believe in unity. Until you disagree with someone. It's like submission. Everyone agrees, no, submission is good. Submission is from God. Submission is important. Until you're being challenged to change, for instance. And then we question submission. But you see, the whole thing about unity, if you think about unity, is unity is shown where there's a difference of opinions. Unity is not shown when we're in that place where, yes, 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 okay, no, fine, we can do this. Unity is shown when we get to that place where we disagree. Because you see, when we get to that place, then we are at a place where we need to make a choice to die in ourselves. The thing that God is calling us for. Because a lot of times we can sit around a table or we can stand somewhere, have a discussion about something, and we know God is calling us all to unity. And there is a share of opinions, and those opinions are not necessarily the same. But then we still need to find that place of unity. You see, so it's that thing of where we stand together and where we say, okay, I choose to die now here. I choose at this stage where we're standing here with different opinions. My opinion doesn't have to be the most important opinion. I will listen to the opinions of other people. Unity, the power of unity. That's what we want to talk about in this. The second verse is, it is like the precious oil on the head. Now, oil in the Bible, when it talks about oil, it talks about anointing. That's what the oil is referring to, is anointing. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. So here in verse 2, it talks about the anointing that comes when there is unity. And what we see if we look at this anointing is we see it coming from the top, running down all the way down. Verse 3, on the mountains, it is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now again, dew, if you think about Israel, if you think about Mount Zion and those places, if you think about Israel, Israel is also, it's like a desert country, a lot like Namibia in that sense. And the dew is quite important there because it doesn't rain that often there. So the dew is very important. Because of the dew, there is life. And here he talks about this dew falling on the mountain, on Mount Zion. And we know it also is referred to as the mountain of God. But what it is saying is it's talking about this dew falling on this mountain. And we know if there's enough dew, water starts to run. And that water will come down into the valleys. So it's the same as the previous verse. It talks about an anointing that comes from the top. But then it carries on there in verse 3. It says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Now the question is, where is there? Is there that place in Israel? When we read the scriptures, God saying that if you want this blessing to come, we all need to go to Israel. No, that's not what he's talking about. When he say there is the blessing, He's talking to that place of unity. So what he's actually saying is there in that place of unity, there is the blessing. And what's interesting, if you look at this scripture, it doesn't say, for there the Lord has commanded a blessing. It says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Life forevermore. So what he's talking about is he's talking about life in abundance. That's the blessing he's talking about. So if we look at this three verses, what we're actually seeing is it's talking about anointing and it's talking about the blessing that comes when there is unity. And therefore we need to understand that unity is so important, that when we get into that place of unity, only then we'll come into that place of really receiving an anointing from God and the blessing that's coming from God. But he's calling us to a place of unity. And I think something important about a place of unity is it's a place where we all need to die. It's a place where we all need to lay down our own lives, the things that's important to each of us, our own opinions a lot of times, and to exalt other people, people around us, above ourselves. That is the place of unity God is calling us to. And if we think about unity, I don't only want to talk about unity this morning, but if we think about unity, there's a lot of things that we can talk about. We can talk about authority and submission. We can talk about loving one another. We can talk about exalting others above ourselves. If it just comes to this place of this thing of unity, there's really a lot that we can say about this. But I only want to focus on a certain aspect of this. But before we do that, maybe just another scripture that shows us the importance of unity is in Genesis 11 from verse 1 to 8. So you can open your Bibles in Genesis 11. Now this is about the Tower of Babel, Toren van Babel, from verse 1. And as I read it, there are certain words that I basically want to underline to show us what it says here. I'm reading from verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. The whole earth had one language and the same words. Why the same words? Were everyone saying the same thing? No, they were in unity. They were in perfect unity. That's why it says that they had the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. Not let me make bricks and do something for myself, but let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. Now, the interesting thing about this word thoroughly, it says, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. This thoroughly talks about the way of doing it. And why I say this word is quite interesting to see it in there is because I think if we talk about things, most of us can agree on what we're supposed to do. The problem is on the way we should do it most of the time. So if we say, for instance, no, we as church, we need to go out and we need to reach this world, everyone will agree. But if we say, okay, so how are we going to do it? That's where the unity needs to come in. Because then you'll have like 20 different opinions of how to do it. And what we see in this verse, they say, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. No one said, yeah, but you know, if we do it this way, because we want to build this tower quite high, we need a lot of bricks. And if we burn them thoroughly, it's going to take very long. So maybe we can just take a shortcut and do it like, no. They all agree they need to do this thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves. Not let me, let us build ourselves. A city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. You know, this is so opposite of what the world is all about today. Because these days what we do is we're not saying, let me do this. Let me build a house for myself. Let me do whatever. That's not what happened here. They say, let us do this. And they say, let us make a name for ourselves. So what they're actually saying when they say, let us make a name for ourselves, is what they're saying is, I don't have to be exalted above you. We can all be equal. And in this day and age, what we know is that every person tries to exalt himself above other people, trying to be better than other people. But in this scripture, what we see is they're saying, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, meaning they are in perfect unity. And they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And this is a very important part that follows here. And he said, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and they confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. It's actually such a powerful piece of scripture if you think about it. Because here we see this picture of this group of people getting into a place of perfect unity, saying to each other, listen, I don't have to be exalted above you. We can be equal. And this thing we're going to do is we can all do it together. So we'll all be in the same place doing the same thing. No one more important than anyone else. And what we see is with this unity, it catches God's attention. And I can tell you, God wasn't looking down on them, seeing them building this tower and thinking, oh my Jonah, they're going to build into heaven. That's not what he thought. But he saw the unity, and he knew if they're in unity like this, they are able to do anything. And this thing that they are doing is not from him. So he notices he knows the power that is in that unity. And therefore God comes and says, okay, but I can't allow this. I can't allow them to continue with what they're busy doing. So I'm going to break up this unity that's among them. And in that moment, he broke up that unity with the different languages you get all over the earth today to break that unity. So therefore, we see how powerful it is if there's unity. God's saying, but if with this unity, nothing will be impossible for them. If you turn it around, he's saying, if you stand in perfect unity, you can accomplish everything or anything. Because it's not about you. It's about a group of people standing together with the same vision, going to the same place, doing the same thing. And God said, by doing that, you can accomplish everything. It's funny, if you just look in the world around us, if you think about unity in the world around us, or the vision in the world around us, so often you'll see, if you think about politics, so often you see a group of people that's in a place of struggle. And you see them getting into that place of unity. And once they get into that place of unity, they break through out of that struggle. But if they then come to a place where they're not in unity anymore, where there's division among them, you see that whole thing coming down. Whether it's politics, whether it's church, whether it's at your workplace, it's the same thing. Unity is a godly thing. Unity is something God calls us to walk in a place of unity. I think if we just look at the world around us and what's going on, I think if, whether it's politics, whether it's, I almost want to say the degree of violence that you get these days, whether it's the rain that's not coming. I think the world at this stage needs the church. But I think the world needs the church in a place of unity. Because you see, if the church isn't in a place of unity, then the church is not the answer for the world. But if the church can come into a place of unity, then the church is the answer for this world. Because then the church will be able to turn what's happening around us, to turn that around. And you see, so often, I think as Christians, we've got this idea of, yeah, but, okay, I got saved, so I'm sorted. At least one day I'll go to heaven. So I just want to leave this place. And I'll do my thing, whatever God expects from me, to stay obedient towards Him. And one day I'll be in heaven. But God has called us to a place of praying heaven down to earth. Because we're praying and say, Lord, let your kingdom come as it is in heaven, also on earth. So we need to pray His kingdom down to earth. I want you to realize something this morning. It's not something, or not a place of where God has, where He was defeated. Now we're on earth and we're also defeated. And we're here for a while and then we leave to a place where God reigns. It's not like that. God called us to a place of authority to change the world around us. But I think so often what we do as Christians is we accept the world in the condition that it is and we don't change it. We just want to wait for that time that it's time to go. But that's not what God has called us for. We are called to change this world around us. If you think about Anne, what she shared about go and pray on that wall, that damn wall, that's what we were called for. You know, I got to a place where I remember there was a time in my life where I always listened to the weather and what they say. When will it rain? When won't it rain? And so on. And I just came to a place where I realized, but why do I allow someone else, maybe from a worldly perspective, why do I allow someone else to declare whether it's going to rain or not? God gave you the authority to speak life. And so often what happens is we listen to certain things and then we submit under that. You know, if you think about it, okay, this is not my sermon, but anyway, if you think about it, so often what happens is you read the newspaper and I'm going to show you an example. They got a story about cancer. Now, if you got cancer, then you die. This is what's going to happen. This is how it happens, the whole story. You put on the news and it talks about cancer and how bad it's getting. And maybe one day you go to the doctor and he tell you, listen, this is what's going on in your life now. And then often what happens, we receive that. We come into that place of saying, okay, but Jesus, so it's the end. There's nothing I can do about it. But the opposite part of that is the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, you are healed by the blood of Jesus. According to the Word of God, you've got all authority to reign over everything in your life. So what we need to do is we need to make a decision on what we're going to believe. Are we going to believe the world? Or are we going to believe the Word? But so often, we accept what the world is telling us. And we don't change reality around us. Because with the Word of God, we are able to change reality around us. And therefore, like for instance on Wednesday, to go and stand there on a dam wall where the dam is empty and to pray over that, to prophesy over that, to call that into being, that's what is supposed to be in that hole, if I can put it that way. That's what you were called to do. All of us, that's what we were called to do. Not to accept what's going on around us, but to change what's going on around us. I'm going to jump to a scripture here in Genesis 4, verse 8 and 9. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He's asking the question, am I my brother's keeper? Now maybe you think now, okay, but what's got that to do with this whole thing about unity? But you see, the answer of this question's got everything to do with unity. I think we all know the story about Cain and Abel and what happened there. But if the answer to this question where he's asking him, am I my brother's keeper? If the answer is yes, then what's happening here is he's talking about accountability. He's talking about accountability that there is among brothers. Now, I know what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. And maybe we are not in that same place of where you have killed your brother. But I think the question is the same. Am I my brother's keeper? In a sense, am I responsible for what's going on in my brother's life? Do I have a say about what's going on in my brother's life? Am I my brother's keeper? And I can tell you up front, the answer to that question is yes. We are accountable to each other. We are accountable to each other. I'll show you some scriptures now. And if you think about accountability, if you think about being accountable to each other, that brings us into a very difficult place of the way there at some stages we will be conversations between each other about the things that's going on in your life or not going on in your life. That's accountability. And if you walk in accountability, it's very difficult to walk in unity. And that's why I say unit of accountability is quite a big part of walking in unity. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 19. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, listen to this, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Again, talking about unity. Now, there's a very important principle in the scripture that we need to notice here. It talks about if your brother sins against you, if someone in church, if someone does something against you, it says here what you're supposed to do is you need to go to that person. And you need to talk to that person about that. And if it doesn't help, then you take one or two people with you to talk to that person. But the principle here that's quite important here, if your brother sins against you, the unity is gone. The blessing is gone. The anointing is gone. But also I want to say, if you think your brother sinned against you, perception, the unity is gone. Same thing. And that's why I believe Scripture says, if your brother has sinned against you, if you feel that your brother has sinned against you, go and talk to him. Go and sort it out. Because what happens is, life happens. We're all busy. You say something, you do something, and someone else feel offended. But what we do is, I'm just going to leave it. But unity is not what you do in action. Unity is in the heart. So the unity is gone. And therefore, I say, God called us to a place of accountability. God called us to a place where if you did something wrong, where your brother can come to you and tell you, listen, why did you do this? This is the way it made me feel. See, God is calling us to a place where we need to get into each other's faces. So it's not just that thing of now we go to church and we go to cell and everything is just great, everything is just happening at this stage and so on. But in your heart, you carry something against someone else in church, against someone in your cell group. against someone in another church. Because then there's no unity. And if there's unity, God commands the blessing. If there's unity, you see that anointing coming from God. And you'll experience that. So we need to get into that place of accountability where we can talk to each other. And I think sometimes we think, yeah, okay, so this is a big thing now because someone did something to me, so now I must go to him and I must talk to him about this. Yes. But it also means that when at some stages someone else will come to you and someone else will tell you, listen, why did you do that? But you see, for God, it's all about relationship. And that's why he's calling us to a place of talking to each other and sorting things out. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now this scripture, so often the scripture is interpreted incorrectly. And why I say that is I think so often what happens is someone come to you and he will talk to you about something that's in your life. And the first thing we do is, but who are you to judge me? Why are you judging me? How can you come to me and tell me I've got this thing in my life? It's not your place to judge me. But if you look at the scripture, if you look at verse 5, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. So first do what? First take the log out of your own eye. Okay, so what do you do secondly? You go to that person, you talk to that person about what you saw in his life or in his heart. Again, accountability. Again, being called to a place where we need to be able to be accountable towards each other and talk to each other about what we see in each other's lives. Guys, God is calling us to a place where if you see a brother coming to church once a month, that you need to be able to go to him and ask him, listen, what's going on in your life? What is there that became more important to you than church? You know church, that thing, Jesus the head, where he's there always to visit or to meet with us? What's more important than that? Life getting in the way. It's not the job of the pastor to go talk to people about attendance all the time, that kind of stuff. It's our job. As brothers and sisters, we are supposed to go to each other and talk to each other about what's going on in our lives. What I see in that scripture, verse 5 again, first take the log out of your own eye. What I see there is God first calling you to a place of saying, look at yourself. Before you go to that person, he's not saying don't go to that person. We need to go to that person. But what he's saying before you go to that person, just look at your own heart. First look at what is going on in your own life and in your own heart. Sort that out and then go to that person. So he's calling us to a place where we need to speak into each other's lives. But not from a place of judging them, but from a place of helping them. From a place where we need to realize that we need to help each other. And guys, if I think about this, I want to be accountable to other people. I don't want to be in a place where I'm not accountable to anyone else. Because if I'm not accountable to anyone else, there's going to be a day where I'll stand in front of God. And where he will show me the things in my life that he's not satisfied with. But here on earth, by the grace of God, he gave the rest of the body to help you to see it so that you can change it. and one day stand in front of Him, not with all that stuff, but with that sorted out. Philippians 2 from verse 1 to 4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Talking of unity. He's calling us again to that place of unity. Do nothing, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to its own interest, but also to the interest of others. And I ask you the question according to Scripture, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. When Cain asked that question, am I my brother's keeper? God didn't answer him there, but what we can see in Scripture is, yes, I am. I am my brother's keeper. You see, what it's referring to is, I am accountable to those around me. Galatians, the last scripture I want to read, Galatians 6 from verse 1 to 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think let's just stand there for a moment. Bear one's burdens. So it's in that place of, he's saying, you need to carry each other's burdens. It's in that place of saying, you need to move as one, walk as one, talk as one. Need to be in full unity. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in the neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Now this, verse 5, for each will have to bear its own load. It's almost like it doesn't fit there if you think about it. Because it's talking about carrying each other's burdens. But then he says, each will have to bear his own load. Why is that? Because you see, in the end, we're all accountable to each other. But when you're going to stand in front of God, you're going to be accountable for yourself. There's not going to be a place of saying, Lord, but you know, this person or that person did this thing, and because of that, I weren't able to go to church. Because of that, I decided rather not to go to cell. Because of that, I decided to do my own thing. God is calling us to a place of unity. Because the only way we can get to a place of unity is if we die in ourselves. Is if we lay down the things that's important to each of us. That's the only way we can get into that place of unity. But there's going to be a day for each of us where we will stand in front of God. And we need to answer for our own actions. So yes, while being on earth, while walking together, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Are we accountable towards each other? Yes, we are. Are we accountable for each other? Everyone's accountable for himself in front of God. But towards each other, we are accountable. Saskia, you guys can maybe just come to the front, please. So what does this mean in practice? So we realize that God is calling us to a place of unity. We realize that God is calling us to a place where we need to realize that we need to get accountable towards each other. We need to get to that place where we allow other people to talk into our lives. And we need to get to that place where we are willing to talk into other people's lives. Now, for a lot of us, if you think about talking into other people's lives, the word that pops up is maybe something like confrontation. And in a sense, that's what it is. But if we don't get into that place where we confront each other about the fruits in our lives, then we're not going to grow. We need to get to that place where we can talk into each other's lives. So on the one side, we need to be able to give, but on the other side, we need to be able to receive. Because sometimes also with pride, we think it's so easy, yes, I'll tell that person is doing this wrongly, or this is the fruit that I see, and I don't believe that's from God. But can you receive it? Because you see, there's also that place where someone will come to you and tell you, listen, this thing I'm seeing in your life, to me, doesn't look like fruit of the Spirit. And then it's not about defending it. Then it's about dying. Then it's about laying it down, repent, and changing. That's the place of unity. You guys can give out the Nachmol stuff. That's the place of unity that God is calling us to. So I think it's easy to maybe to come to church, to listen to a sermon on a Sunday, maybe even on a Wednesday to go to cell group. But God didn't call us only for that. He called us to a place of accountability where we need to talk into each other's lives. So I'll just allow them to give that out and then we can take communion together. Did everyone receive communion? I want to go back to that definition of unity that I've shared in the beginning. Unity is being together or at one with someone or something. That someone or something is Jesus for us. So it's about being together with Him. It's about being in one accord with Jesus. And you know, the Father really wants us to be in that place with Him. That's why He has sent Jesus. And by the blood of Jesus, and by His body that was broken for us, we can get into that place of unity. And when we take communion, what we basically do is we share what Jesus did for us. We come to that place of realizing that because His body was broken, because He has bled for us, we can be one with the Father. It's a place of restoration. So I want to ask you just to take this bread. And Lord, we declare this, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we declare that we realize, Lord, that your body was broken for us so that we can be completed. So that we can come to a place of unity, not only among each other, but also with you. So therefore, Father, we take this, we eat this, and we choose to move into that place of unity, and we thank you, Father, for your body in Jesus' name. And secondly, Father, we just come to you, Lord, and Father, this grape juice, we just declare that the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all sins, the blood of Jesus that healed us, the blood of Jesus that made a way for us to have a relationship with you. And Father, as we take this, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. So this morning, firstly, I want to challenge you to a place of accountability. I want to challenge you this morning, and the responsibility is on you to get yourself an accountability partner in church, preferably someone in your cell group, someone where you can go to that person and tell that person we can be accountable towards each other. So I want you, I'm asking you to talk into my life. I'm asking you, if you look at me and if you see me, going in the wrong direction, I'm asking you to tell me that. I'm asking you, if you see fruit in my life that's not from God, to talk to me about it. And I'm willing to do the same for you. So I'm challenging you to find yourself an accountability partner, like I said, preferably in your cell group, someone that you'll see quite often. Husbands and wives, not accountability partners like that. I want to ask you to get someone else. Because a lot of times that's for us, it's like a safe place if my wife is my accountability partner. And if I don't want to listen to what she say or whatever, well, no one is going to know. Now we call to a place of accountability where we're going to listen. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, I want to call you to a place of accountability towards the Father. And there I want to ask you the question, have you ever came to that place where you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because if you haven't, you're not standing in a place of accountability towards the Father. So the first thing that's important for all of us is to come to that place of saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. That place of saying, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I make myself accountable to you. Come and do in my life whatever you want to do in my life. If there's any person here that haven't got to that place yet, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to step into that place of accountability towards God. Step into that place of unity with Him. The place that He called each of us to. So if there's anyone like that, I'm going to finish off now with the prayer, but I want to ask you to just afterwards just to come to me and I'll pray with you. Also, if there's anyone else that needs prayer for anything, please come to the front. We would like to pray with you. And we want God to touch you and to change your life. Thank you, Father, that we were able to come together this morning. Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, to bring us into that place of unity. To bring us into that place, Father, that from where we can talk as one. From where we can be one. In that place, Father, where it's all about you. It's not about anything or anyone else. It's all about you. And I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for calling us to that place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, next week, Sunday, Jaco van Rooyen will be here. So come to church, bring someone with. I'll be preaching in Sokop Mint. But have a great Sunday, have a great week, and I hope to see all of you on Wednesday evening on the dam wall. Okay, have a great day. Thanks.